Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios. Edmore's is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is Hockman and Crowder on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
I think I might put that Justin Bohr interview in top 10 interviews all time.
Good. Top 10?
Yeah, of all time on this show. Someone had texted
Cornbread, Larry Nager, Dion Waiters.
But a particular interview. Not interviewees, but a particular interview. Because someone had texted in that interview and the Dion Waiters interview. Remember when we had Dion Waiters on a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
He was excellent, too. He was just chilling, playing video games, and Ricky Williams. I'm talking about one-time interviews where you were like, wow, that was so interesting and just had me riveted the whole time. Now, granted, I like talking about donuts.
Yeah.
So it made
I was going to say, I think we could break down laid-back guys because we're laid-back guys.
Yeah. You know what? The guys that fall into the style of this show, Dion Waiters sitting there playing video games talking to us.
I'm talking about his son dating a girl at 3 years old. So now I have a five-year-old. Yeah, the guys that are laid-back.
Yeah,
that's the ones
we like.
They kind of just weave right into us. A-Rod, he wasn't having it.
No, he was
put
not.
Put the hoof down to you.
Right, yeah.
Did you ever think about buying a team? No, I am under the New York Yankees organization, and I'm going
to
stay there.
I mean, he was fine. He wasn't rude to us. He was fine. Mm. He just wasn't. Like,
square.
Justin Bohr was like, he was like, yeah, you know. And, like, he came up with the mustard in the donut story. I didn't know that was a story.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, his own material.
Yeah. A-Rod was just, he wanted to let you know that there was a broadcast of the All-Star game that night and that he had a sit-down with Aaron Judge.
And he's a part of the New York Yankees organization.
And he's a part of the Yankees organization. And he wasn't bad, though.
Good grief.
So I heard this audio. I don't listen to the podcast, but I heard this audio of Serena on Maverick Carter's podcast. And they're talking about her first big check. I don't know if you've heard this or not. Do you have that audio clip, Kalata? Dude, here's Serena on the podcast.
What was that feeling like when you got that first $1 million check?
I never touched it.
Never touched it?
Never touched it. I just put it in the bank. And I remember I went through the drive-thru to deposit my check. And then they were like, I think you need to come in for this. And so I ended up going inside. So I was just like,
just put it in my account.
Just put it in my
account.
But
did you like stare at it for a while? Or did you like,
I should have took a picture of it. And like, you know, like, I guess selfies didn't exist back then.
Exactly.
Right?
Selfies did.
So I find it fascinating that you'd have, like, if I had a $1 million check, I feel like it wouldn't even be a question to me if I was going to go through the drive-thru. I would, of course, walk into the bank.
It's a check.
Yeah, well, no.
Yes,
I've seen just a check. It's a $10 rebate from Maxell Cassettes because I was making some cassettes for girls. I was making mixtapes. And you get a $10 rebate in the mail. A $1 million check.
You used to have game, huh?
I used to be able to make a mixtape with the best of them.
Wow.
Ooh, I'd put some rap love songs. Fat Boys.
Game passed you by.
LL Cool J. Oh, man, has game passed me by. You got no idea. We went out, my wife and I, and some friends, whatever, we went out in Delray Beach, Atlantic Avenue, on Saturday night. And we got out of the place like around, I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Ooh, late night.
And there's people driving, like, looking for a parking spot. And my wife's like, who goes out at this hour? I'm like, man, look at these people that are walking around here on Atlantic Avenue is popping. But that is so, I can't tell you how far away I am from that.
You like rest.
I do love
Ambien.
Rest. I love rest.
And oh, that Lunesta. You're in love
Ambien,
with
Ambien, man.
Oh, okay, you're in love with.
You
medication.
Know when I start thinking about taking my next Ambien, the moment I wake up, I go, oh, I just got to get through today. Then I got to get through tonight, and then I get to take a lovely Ambien.
I want to say that's clinical depression.
How good is life?
Let's not bring down the show. I want to. Every day you wake up, you wish to go back to sleep. Oh,
nothing makes me happier than laying in my bed in a half-conscious stupor because of Ambien, watching House Hunters International.
It turns my stomach.
Nothing
so let's get back to Serena
happier.
At the bank because this is disgusting.
I've told you before.
It's like a bad porno.
I've told you before I have dreams of becoming so obese that you would have to come over to lift up my flaps for Lori to clean under them. Like, that's how heavy they are, that you have to come over. There's something.
You dream about this.
There's something about that just seems.
Again, I want to keep the show moving, but that sounds like depression as well. Man, do you need some help? Do we need to call somebody? You want to go to sleep when you wake up and then get so fat you can't move.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll talk during this
You're
break.
You're speaking my language, man.
Need a hug?
Oh, look.
I
found a Twix bar underneath your fat flap. How old is it? Let me have that. Let me see that.
And you send me pictures of fat people all day. No, man.
I like watching My 600-Pound Life. I love that show, man.
The thing with Serena is closer to home because I took a substantial check through a drive-through as well.
Well, it's funny to me. I understand a check is a check.
It's
If I had a check though for $1 million, I feel like I'd walk into the bank. I feel like.
What are you going to have it in a dog carrier?
No. But I feel like I would know that there's some sort of protocol for a large check. Like it wouldn't. Like normal checks go. What if that check got caught in the tube? The little it doesn't come out the other side. You ain't leaving that drive-through lane. I guarantee you that.
Oh, no, I'm climbing up in the roof of that damn bank to get my check out that tube.
So you got your first bonus check. This is as a rookie, right?
Yeah.
As a rookie.
$588 after taxes.
$588,000 after taxes. So what was the signing bonus? $750?
$730, something like that.
So a check made out to you. $588,000.
At that time, the Dolphins didn't direct deposit. They were one of, I want to say, two or three teams that didn't direct deposit in the league.
So you've got a check. Do they call you? Do they say, hey, Channing, your check is here? Or it's just...
No, when you sign your contract, it says, hey, you know, I signed my, you know, third-round contract. Wasn't crazy money, but they were like, hey, your signing bonus is $728, whatever it was, and it'll be available August 5th or August 18th, whatever it was, and then your next bonus check will be available September 9th, and then you'll make this
but
much.
But do they like just put it in your locker, or do you have to go to someone and get it? Do you have to sign for it?
It was like a player person. His name was John Gamble. He ended up being a strength coach, and then he came over. He hurt his back and came over. So kind of like the player, the transition guy, helped the guys go back to college or get apartments or insurance or just trying to help the young guys transition. So he had good dealings with the players, so they let him distribute the checks.
But he came to you, or you had to go to his office?
Well, if you know you got $588,000 coming on August 8th, you're there August 8th, 6 a.m., hey, can I work out? When's John get here? John will be at what time? 8:39.
Why are you in so early today, Crowder? I don't know. Just
feeling good.
Feeling good today. wanted to get into work. So do you get the check early in the morning?
Yeah. Well, I worked out. I did work out, and then I got it. And it was either between camps or OTAs. Like it was that time of year, and I worked out everything, and then went in the car. And I knew it was an envelope, so I had my name on it. They could have mailed it if I didn't live in South Florida. So I knew my name was there, and I knew. It was a big check because it was my first signing bonus. So I went in the car and waited to open it in the car. And I opened it in my truck. I damn dropped a tear. I cried a little bit. Then I smiled and laughed. And I texted a couple people. And I took a picture of it and sent it like my mom. You know, different people like, damn, look at this check. Then I cried some more. Yeah. And just sat there in the parking lot.
And this is in the parking lot of the Dolphins or parking lot of the bank?
Parking lot of the Dolphins. As soon as I got my car, I opened it. But then it wasn't Wells Fargo. Then it was Wachovia. Remember, they transitioned.
Yeah.
So the Wachovia is two blocks away from Dolphin facility.
Do you have an account there?
Yes.
Okay.
Got me a Wells Fargo account because I knew this was coming. And you get like $1,500 checks when you're in OTAs and stuff. Like
gotcha,
they give you a couple $1,000s here
something
and there.
Something to live on.
Something to live on. So I already had a bank account open with maybe, you know, $4,500 in it, $3,000 or something, somewhere between there. And then I brought the big boy over.
So, but you went through the drive-thru.
Yes, just like I do with my $1,500 check.
It didn't strike you as like, hey, this is a pretty significant check. I better walk inside the bank.
I knew, as we've talked about before, I had a very large credit line. So I had dabblings with a large amount of money. So I knew you could only get between $2,000 and $3,000 through the drive-through receiving it. I didn't know they would say no to getting money. You can send me money any way you want to. Now, if you want me to send you money, we have to have something going. But if you just say, hey, Crowder, I'm mailing you $10,000 cash in a box wrapped in socks. I'll be waiting at the house. When does it get here? 2 days, 4 days? I don't care. But receiving money? I didn't think they stop you from giving them
there
money.
There has to be some sort of protocol. What I mean, getting money in a drive-thru, I'm guessing, is what? $5,000?
Oh, that stopped me at, well, I know Wells Fargo about $3,000.
Yeah, it might even be like $2,500, yeah. Something yeah. Like that. And I would, my guess is if you're going to send money through the drive-thru, because the thing is, they're more, like, I believe they can look at you better and get a clearer picture of you
yes.
When you're standing in the bank. So if you are passing a fraudulent $1 million check, they've got a better video of you or whatever. Like, and, I would guess that's the reasoning.
And your thumbprint and all this stuff, you know, because they can come and they can get more, like right. You said, more information about you, but they don't even clear it. It took, I want to say it took 2.5 weeks to clear $500,000.
Yeah, well, because someone texted in, did Serena have a hold on her check? Oh, she said, I didn't even touch it, so she just deposited it.
They held it for, I want to say, over 2 weeks they held
even
it.
Even though it had the Miami Dolphins logo on it.
Miami Dolphins logo in the top corner, and it was a... Well, it was a Wachovia check.
So was that written on their bank?
It was written from their bank to me, but to send it across, whatever it was like 2 weeks.
So you send the check down the little tube. The lady opens it on the other side.
Yep. Oh, I remember I could pick her out of a lineup this day, and this was 2005. This was 12 and a half years ago.
And she says?
She kind of looked befuddled, and then she says, oh, you have to come inside. I said, okay. Suit it back.
Right. I was going to ask you, did you
oh,
say,
hey, no, I ain't no dummy.
Hold on to it for me while I come inside, or did you say, shoot that check back here, I got this handled?
Send it, put it right back in the tube I saw you take it out of and push three. Don't take that check anyway. Oh, no, you weren't going to get me. I'm no dummy. Hey, man, let me get that croquetta off of you. $4. Give me the money, I'll bring your croquetta back. No, we'll exchange it hand for hand. So, yeah, give me my check. And
so
I'll come inside.
You get the check back, you go and park.
Yes.
Walk inside the bank.
Yeah.
Get in line.
Get in line. And I was looking scroungily. I was coming from work. I had on a cut off raggedy gator shirt, some old raggedy pants.
Sweaty.
I had on flip flops, dirty ankles. I don't think I washed that day because I was so excited to get to the bank with this money. So I had, you know, if you run, well, you don't know. Listeners, if you run a lot on grass, you have that grass up your back of your calf. I was just dirty and sweaty, nasty. Had my dreads all, I had braids at the time, I want to say. Had them all fuzzy. So, yeah, I just looked crazy.
Walk up to the teller.
Yep. Well, first, there was three tellers. Three women. And the best looking one, I was single at the time. I'm married now, but I can tell the story. The best looking one down at the end, she didn't want to take my service because I looked like a bum.
She didn't want to have to deal with you because you were going to be the guy that says, here's a check for $300. Let me have the $300. She was going to say it takes time to clear. She didn't want the whole hassle.
It was going
to
be a foolish. And you know how if you're playing like one-on-one or you try to pick the worst guy to cover, she was doing the count where like, please right. Don't give me this big old bum.
Right. It's like when someone's walking onto an airplane and you've got the seat in between you and you're trying to figure out how many seats are left, where could this person possibly be sitting?
Digging in his tooth yeah. And stanking yeah. And crusty ears and don't sit next to me, nasty man. Yeah, so I was the nasty man that she was wishing didn't sit next to her figurative bank window. But it came up to sit next to the bank window. Walk up, said deposit. Said, okay, I have my little form, have my little form. She was out, she didn't even look at the form. She was, oh, ID. I said, okay, take my ID out, give my ID. Picks the check up, rolls her little eyes and looks down. Gets real nice. Oh, hello, Mr. Cry. Hello, how are you? Oh, my goodness. This is something. It just becomes the nicest thing in the world. End up taking on a couple of dates, actually.
What?
That wasn't about my looks. I know what it was about. I just capitalized on the situation. Don't judge me.
You just neutered my entire... I was going to tell you what had really happened there, but apparently you're already aware.
I just took advantage of a situation, man. Don't judge me.
Don't judge me.
Hey, man. I took being talked nasty to for a little bit, and then things
you're
swung.
Already aware.
I knew, man.
That's
okay.
Excellent. So then you deposit the $588,000 check.
Yep. I want to say maybe $2,000 or $3,000 was released then. Maybe another.
Did you take it?
40 or 50.
Did you say,
no.
Give me whatever I can take right now?
No, I was a G. I had other bank accounts. I think some guys probably do kind of just give me. I've never seen this much money. But like you said, I took that $1 million credit line out because Mel Kiper told me I was going to the first round. So I already had a little money.
Mel Kiper had said to him, you going to be a rich brother.
So I believe Mel. So got the money. So yeah, I wasn't crazy to get the money, but I really want to say it took 2 weeks to get the entire amount over into my account.
That's weird, though, because it is the Dolphins bank. That's the only part that's weird. Yeah. Normally, I would say a large check, it's going to take a while. Now it doesn't. Nowadays, it doesn't take
that
long.
And then if you walk in with a $600,000 check made out to the Dolphins, made out by the Dolphins to you, hey, sir, come on inside. You know, like, what are you doing for the Dolphins to make $600,000?
It's pretty obvious.
6'2", 250, cutoff shirt on, tattoos everywhere. Yeah. You know, like, you know why I'm making, you know what this money's for. Told me to come inside.
A great story, though. You went through the drive-thru. I love that.
It might have been the first time I've ever been in a bank to put, like, a check in.
Just funny to me. It's a $500,000, like, in one check, $500,000. Like, you'd figure, like, yeah, I probably need to go in. I might need to see a bank manager on this.
See,
like,
you're thinking that you're helping them.
No,
they're helping you.
No.
I'm helping you.
I'm just thinking anytime a local bank branch is dealing with $100,000 or more, whether it's a wire, a check, a money order, like, I would guess six figures. That requires some sort of signature from somebody. So, like, you know,
I wonder what the number is.
It's got to be six figures.
100 grand.
I would guess.
100 grand or better, you have to go inside.
Like, not even has to go inside, but needs a manager's signature on the transaction itself. Like, I mean, you're talking about, like.
I just thought they knew.
No.
Like, a personal check, I understand. But they typed out. Like, it wasn't handwritten. This was typed out. This was a salary check from the Miami Dolphins.
You ever saw that Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
Catch Me If You Can. Yes. They thought I was him.
I'm just saying, it's been done. I watched a thing on Facebook last night, a video a guy in England uploaded. He wanted to get into the Mayweather-McGregor press conference that they had in England. And he did it. He edited this thing together so perfectly with music and captions, whatever. It was a young kid. And he says, I found out 2 days ago that the press conference is coming here, and my buddy texted me, you've got 2 days. And so he goes, and then he showed you his whole process. He's like, thank you, Floyd Mayweather's driver. He started following all these guys on Instagram and Twitter, everyone that was associated with Mayweather. Mayweather's driver had posted pictures of their passes. There were promoter passes and there were media passes, and just he posted pictures of everything. Here's the car, here's the thing or whatever, you know, just to kind of show out.
Yeah.
And so he saw what the passes looked like. He went on his computer. He mocked them up exactly. And as a little goof, he even made one of Floyd Mayweather's eyes his nipple. He took Floyd Mayweather's nipple, replaced his eye with it, and he goes, I'm leaving this here that way. Because, I mean, that's how perfect the thing was. Made him in both colors, the promoter's colors and the media colors. And then he videotaped with a little GoPro on himself, and he got a $4 earpiece that he put in his ear. And with these two passes, he printed them out. He printed them on photographic paper. Then he laminated them, put lanyards on them or whatever. This dude walked into the press conference with McGregor's entourage. It's the funniest damn video you'll ever see. He's bouncing up and down with them, walking down the thing. So when you talk about, like, it's pretty, I mean, back in your day when you were catching that, it was a little bit harder. But today, yeah, with all the graphic stuff, it's a lot easier. This dude, like, he showed you every time backstage he would walk past Dana White because they were walking in the same area. It was unbelievable video. Collada, dude, see if you can find that on Facebook or something so maybe you can tweet it out.
That's trespassing.
It's definitely illegal, but, I mean, I don't know what the...
Just told on somebody else.
After the case, the thing's got, like, 2 million views already. Like, it is... But it was so perfectly done. It was so perfectly done. It was amazing.
That's crazy because you look at it like, oh, back in the day, like Catch Me If You Can.
Like they taking were sent, actual if, stencils
if they
and
take
stuff.
02 and put it as 1-2, now it sends it to California and not New York and all that. But even nowadays, like you look at those damn Ocean 11 and 12 and 13 movies and all where the damn smart person could figure it out. And that it was funny that really happened with Facebook because, yeah, if you're clever enough, you could sneak in and mess over some people.
I got to find this video because you're just watching it and you're like, oh, my God, this guy is going wherever he wants. Like, he walks down this one hallway and the guy says to him, this is for the promoters only. Sorry. He walks out. He goes gets his promoter color pass. Boom. Walks right in. Like, I mean, it was insane and scary.
All ploys are attack human error.
Yeah. Yeah, all
you don't try to go slide your card through a machine. You go after a person.
And the other, you know, the other aspect of it, like all ploys, it's like the old Fletch movies. If you act like you belong somewhere, you got to listen to Ronde Gadsden. I have told you, he is the king of that. If there is something going on at Hard Rock Stadium, especially inside Liv, Ronde Gadsden is going to be there looking like he is invited to be there.
Hello, man. Where are we going? Who is we? All of us. We. Everybody that's here for the big event. What big event? The big event.
The big event. Then you make them feel like
Live?
That. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Live event. Yeah. Oh, all the other guys went in the elevator. Thank you so much, man.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll come right back after this.
Glenn Crowder is driven by Lubac Road Coconut Creek Chevrolet, your Silverado headquarters. 441 just south of the Sawgrass Expressway in Coconut Creek. Or online at CoconutCreekChevrolet.com. Find new roads.
A lot of dude gets to pick all the music today since Falero's on vacation. Falero will be back tomorrow.
We grew up around some G's.
You grew up watching The Box.
Me too. Oh, you talking about the TV?
Yeah. What were you thinking of? Ayo. Falero's going to be back tomorrow. We did say at the beginning of the show, we stumble. I don't know where we were headed in the beginning of the show, but somehow we started talking about croquetas, and Crowder said that he doesn't eat those. It's like gooey meat in there, and
like
he doesn't
meat toothpaste.
Doesn't like the consistency of it. And I was saying you cannot live in South Florida and not like croquetas. That is an offense that can get you kicked out of South Florida. And so a bunch of people just kicked out.
Wow,
that guy doesn't like croquetas. You know,
y'all gonna sell my house for me or anything?
Nothing. You're gone, and we take over the property.
Well, I love croquetas, then. I didn't know the rules.
So I said, Falero's parents have brought us before real chicharrones, like, and they were
the meat
great.
On the
yeah.
back. Yeah,
they were great,
delicious.
And so I said, maybe they should bring us real croquetas so you can try one and see if it. Because you were saying it's like mincemeat. And there are cheese croquetas, so there's no meat in those.
Well, I'll probably like those. The ones I've had is always
ham. There's usually ham. It's
minced
ham. Yeah.
Ham. Like, why mince meat? Just give me a, you know, I eat ground beef. That's what other ones, like a potato little cup or the yuca cups with the meat in the inside. I eat all of that stuff. I don't like the meat toothpaste. It turns me off.
A lot of people texted in that, you know, that is that's an offense that's almost unforgivable. That you really...
Is my description incorrect of it? Because you're not going to talk to me that. You never convinced me that meat toothpaste is delicious.
Right. No, but I think you've probably had bad croquetas then. Because they can't be that popular. And I've had them before. I didn't have that same take. So maybe you just had bad ones.
You're a glutton, though.
That is true.
Like, I am picky with my food.
Not a glutton.
Yes, you are.
Maybe I'm a glutton.
You go places to eat. Every time you come back from a place, it's never what I did or what we did. You told me when y'all got back from what? St. Petersburg?
Yeah.
You told me about the food and then told me 2 days later, yeah, and we went jet skiing. Like, you go places to eat.
I can't wait to leave for Chicago on Friday.
Ridiculous.
I'm hitting Barnaby's for some thin pizza on Friday. I'm hitting Michael's for some cheddar fries and a cheddar burger, char cheddar burger on Saturday. Giordano's for a deep dish pizza Saturday night.
Heartburn.
Hackney's for an onion loaf and a burger. Oh, we are going to do some eating.
Just gain weight.
By the way, I will be in Chicago next Monday and Tuesday, broadcasting from the Big Ten football media days in Chicago. If you remember last year, Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, Lovie Smith, they all came on. What's his name? Paul Christ from Wisconsin. I'm sure DJ Durkin. Everybody from the Big Ten will be coming on. It's all part of the Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour, presented by Florida Prepaid College Plans in association with Clutch Insurance, and brought to you in part by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC. So make sure you are listening Monday as I'm in Chicago on my eating tour. Oh, so excited.
Disgust me.
Nothing like eating. Hence me wanting to wash myself with a rag attached to a stick because I can't.
Golly.
Can't reach
all
the places.
Lay up in a bed and get bed sores.
There is something romantic about that My 600-Pound Life
show.
No,
it's not.
looks romantic.
You know what romance usually ends in action. You're not getting no action at 600 pounds. They don't even see their parts no more. Their parts disappear.
My action is those little barbecue twisty Fritos. Mmm, those are good, huh?
That's
your
action.
The best kind of Frito, isn't it?
Wow.
Anyway, Falero's parents will, she tweeted at us, Mara, the mother, she's going to bring us real croquetas next week.
Can I request ground instead of minced? Can I have ground croquetas?
No, they have to be made like real croquetas.
You can ask, though.
No, you know.
Like tacos with no lettuce, just meat and cheese. Can I ask for less mince?
Taking a ingredient out is one thing, not a main ingredient, lettuce in tacos. But changing the way the meat is prepared is another thing. That's not allowed.
I take mine ground.
56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Is Channing Crowder in the wrong that croquetas are not good?
It's like chitlins. I'll eat them. somebody, I'm not going to choose to eat them.
Somebody texts in Channing. He gone.
You're going to kick me out.
He gone. So Omar Kelly wrote this thing we talked about a little bit earlier about Jarvis Landry. He says, it is difficult to say what Jarvis Landry should get in a new deal from the Miami Dolphins without understanding what the NFL's highest paid receivers are earning. We're not talking about the terms of the deal announced when they are signed. Everyone in professional sports knows the only figures that matter in an NFL contract are the guaranteed dollars. We're talking about real money that reaches their bank accounts. That's what Landry, a two-time Pro Bowler, who is the 107th highest paid receiver in the NFL, is focused on. That in itself is ridiculous.
He needs to be higher than 107.
The 107th highest paid receiver in the NFL.
He's young, though. He's a puppy. That's what happens when you're a puppy and you ball. You're on a puppy contract, and you're playing for puppy money, but you're playing with the big boys. That big shout-out to Jarvis for doing that.
We're going to get it some kind of way. You know that, Landry said earlier this week, referring to a lucrative deal that will either come from a contract extension or from the franchise tag the Dolphins could use in 2018 to retain the former LSU standout. Landry, who has 288 receptions for 3,051 yards and 14 touchdowns in three seasons with the Dolphins, hopes to get a new deal done with Miami before his deadline, which is the Dolphins' regular season opener on September 10th. Here's an examination of recent contracts, taking a look at what many of the NFL's best receivers have earned on their second or third deals. Antonio Brown was the NFL's most handsomely paid receiver this offseason because Alshon Jeffrey was forced to take a one-year, $9.5 million deal from Philadelphia, and DeSean Jackson only managed to get a three-year, $33.5 million deal, $20 million guaranteed from Tampa. Jackson, who checks in as one of the NFL's 10 highest paid receivers, will likely earn $23.5 million in the first 2 years of his deal with the Buccaneers, averages $11.75 million for the first two seasons of the new deal. Antonio Brown is getting $33.78 million in guaranteed money over the next two seasons. He's supposed to make $12.6 million the first season. Bottom line on Brown's contract is that he'll average $15.5 million over the next two seasons.
That's top of the line. 15-6.
Right. So where are we talking with Jarvis Landry on that? Because he says here, Omar writes, while playing on his fifth-year option, which was worth $11.75 million in 2011, Cincinnati signed A.J. Green to a four-year, $60 million extension that should carry him through the 2019 season. Julio Jones signed a five-year, $71 million extension with Atlanta in 2015. $35.5 million was guaranteed. Dez Bryant, similar five-year, $70 million contract, which had $20 million signing bonus, $32 million guaranteed. Any of those names jump out at you as being equivalent?
Not at all.
Denver's Demaryius Thomas got nearly an identical contract to Bryant, but $35 million of his deal was fully guaranteed back in 2015.
Demaryius Thomas is the closest one, but he had some crazy years back there with Peyton. Like, is Jarvis, do you think Jarvis compares to them? Dez, Julio, A.J. Green, DeSean Jackson, Antonio Brown?
He's the Dolphins version of them.
But if they all got on the field, Jarvis had no chance of starting over any of those guys. You got to give me a chance. You got to give me a guy that Jarvis would push for his position for me to say they're close. Could Jarvis push? If Dez Bryant was on this team and they want to start Jarvis over him, you would not be happy. Julio Jones, A.J. Green, or Antonio Brown. You would not be happy for Jarvis to start over any of those receivers.
Right. I agree with that. But you have to look at what Jarvis means to this particular team. Dolphins team, this Dolphins team is not the same Dolphins team without Jarvis Landry.
No.
And so you have to ask yourself, if you're the Dolphins management, are we going to feel that way 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now? It's rare to come by a receiver like him that means that much to, like, tell me the last receiver that you felt that way about. OJ?
Yeah, I was about to say it had to be before I was here. Because Chris Chambers and Brandon Marshall would be the best thing since I got drafted in 05. And you know, Wes wasn't Wes.
Right.
So it would have to be O.J. McDuffie. It would go back to Dan Marino time.
Okay, so think about how rare it is then to get a guy that you feel that way about. So you go, all right, well, maybe, you know, maybe you do sign him to a long-term deal, even though you don't have to.
That's my question. To make him happy, why? Like, why are you pressed to give him more money when you don't have to give him more money? Like, why is Omar saying you have to pay this guy? No, you don't have to pay him. You're going to pay him when he, after his contract runs out that he signed as a rookie. That's when you pay him. That's when everybody else gets paid.
Well, I think what happens, though, is do you want this guy to get the taste of, hey, one more season and I can test free agency?
But he can't. Didn't they franchise him?
But it would be.
They have two more years.
I'm saying one after this season, they've got one more season with him guaranteed if they want to tag him.
Yes. That's fine.
Do you want him to be think? Because then you're one season out, you may be more apt to say, yeah, I'm not going to sign a long-term deal because I would like to see, you know, here's where maybe you could lock him up for the next five seasons, not have to worry about him at all.
He's too good and he knows he's too good to take $7 million a year or $8 million a year. You've let him perform. He has the most receptions in the last 2 years first 2 years of contract of any player ever in the NFL. He balled out already, so he's not going to take a early or a hometown discount, I don't believe. So you're just going to pay him to make him feel good? Because we talked about it earlier. You say that all the time. They say, oh, you're going to get on his bad side. Oh, there's going to be a disconnect between him and the organization. When you give somebody some of these contracts you just read, five for $70 million, you're friends again.
But I'm not saying to do it to make Jarvis feel good. I'm saying to do it to ensure that you're not going to face a situation after this coming season. Let's say he balls out this coming season.
I think he is. He's going to have close to 100 catches. He's going to do his thing.
Okay. Now he's only one season away from being a total free agent if they franchise tag him, right?
Yep.
He could be a total free agent. Do you want to risk that much? If you think he's going to have a great season this season, and if you think Ryan Tannehill is going to play well, and you're on the cusp of something really good down here, why not just lock him up? That way you've got him. You've got him. You don't have to worry about him.
Honestly, and I don't find a reason to pay a young guy because that's how teams get good. You can go pay vets and draft well, and that's how you sneak up and turn your team around real fast. Drafting well, young, cheap guys that can play, and you have to overpay some vets. After this season, if I was in charge, if I was Chris Greer, Mike Tannenbaum, I would lock Jarvis up after this season. Where not going to franchise because now he's, like you're saying, unrestricted free agent, gets to test the market, going to be overpaid. But this year, let him play for his peanuts. Next year, don't give him the $12 to $15 million that the franchise is going to be. Now give him his deal for, and looking at these numbers, looking at the averages, I would say Jarvis, honestly, is about a $10 to $11 million a year guy. Where Dez is 12 and a half. Julio's 13 and a half. AJ Green is 14.2. You know, Jarvis is below. Jarvis is a $10 million to $11 million a year guy. After his rookie deal's up, don't franchise him. Give him his 11. Give him 4 for 44, whatever he wants,
yeah,
something like
gonna
that.
Not going to be happy with that.
If that's the negotiation side. But don't give him money for no reason. Don't just give him
again,
money.
Again, I would go back to my same argument, which is not for no reason. He's your number one receiver. Anybody texting in that he's not, he's your number one receiver. He's also the energy of the team.
Yep.
He's the Roni Turiaf. He's your energy
don't
guy.
Don't use that one. That's a bad argument point. No, you know what convinced me is when Adam Gase said it at least a half a dozen times last season, Jarvis is the heart of our offense. And then you look, after he says it, you watch the game. Jarvis gets one of those plays where he goes and runs a guy over on the sideline for a nine-yard gain. But then now Jay Ajayi goes off and gets him 45. And now Jarvis catches a little slant across the middle for 5 yards, does his first down sign, and the whole team goes crazy. You can see how Jarvis energizes the team. So let him energize the team on the contract he signed as a rookie, and then when he has to get paid, pay him. That's a, I would say there's a certain, and we talked about it, there's a certain amount of young guys that you have to lock in because they're that good.
Right, you don't feel he's that guy.
I don't think he's that guy.
That's where the disconnect is. It's not about, hey, you don't have to, so don't do it. You don't believe he's that guy. You don't believe he's worthy of that.
No, I don't believe he's worthy of paying him. Okay, what's he making this year? $600,000.
$900,000, something like that. It's less than a million.
So you want to, instead of paying him, let's say a million, even a million.
It's not that I want to, but I'm looking ahead.
But you're not, because you don't have to pay him $10 million this year.
But I don't know. If this season he has a breakout season, he's an all-pro receiver. People around the league are talking about him. He's Odell Beckham Jr. Then all of a sudden, the long-term price is going to go up again.
And if he jumps to in that Antonio, he'll never be Antonio Brown. Let's put him with Dez Bryant. We'll put him with Dez Bryant. Dez is no blazer. Dez is a hell of a receiver. I won't take anything away from Dez. But Dez is right now 12 and a half. So we're going to give him 10 and a half, 11 next year. If he balls out, he'll jump to 12 and a half. Or maybe not even get to Julio Jones at 13 and a half. You see what I'm saying? It's just, you don't have to pay him. He's not what these guys are, and he only has 4.6 touchdowns a year, 14 touchdowns over three seasons. That is not impressive. Those are pedestrian numbers for us. Like you're saying, a heart and soul to starting the number one receiver on your team. 4.5 touchdowns for your first 3 years, that's embarrassing. So he has pros and cons. So with those pros and cons, it makes me say, let him play his contract out, and then when you have to pay him, pay him. Don't take $10 million out of your salary cap extra this year, or $12 million, or $13 million, or something crazy because of his signing bonus, when you can pay him $900,000, next year give him $40 million, and y'all are friends again. You got to play the game. This is business. You can't be a general manager and have your heart attached to players.
Yeah, but I don't think it's your heart attached. Like, you have to make the determination if you think he is an irreplaceable receiver. And if you think he's an irreplaceable receiver, you sign him now for a long-term contract. You make him happy for 5 years, and then you worry about it afterwards. You've gotten the would be 8 years of service out of him.
Yeah.
He's played three seasons. So, like, you just have to decide if he's an irreplaceable receiver.
Does Adam Gase's offense, how many league spots or yards per game or just, you see what I'm saying, efficiency in his offense, would they get that much worse if it was Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, and Leonte Carew?
I don't know.
I think that's where our disconnect is.
Right.
I don't think Jarvis Landry pushes this offense to playoff offense, to a playoff style or a Super Bowl caliber offense. I think Jarvis Landry's a great piece on this offense. I don't think he's a guy you have to pay. I think he's a guy you wait until he's up.
Somebody texts in
and let him see.
Didn't we have this conversation with Olivier Vernon and Lamar Smith not locking up young guys? Like, that's part of what I look at and
did
go.
Did you see what OV got? We couldn't have kept him in $80 million.
But you could have kept him for less earlier on had you had that vision. That's the thing with Jarvis.
And they both, I would say that too, because Jarvis, or it'd be OV and Lamar Miller. We both,
oh, yeah,
both
I said,
of those
did
guys.
I say Lamar Smith?
You said Lamar Smith. I was going to say, I don't remember Lamar Smith.
So sorry about that.
I remember his free agent year, but it was different. Both of those guys, would they be changing the Dolphin organization right now? Did OV go become, is OV?
He was pretty damn good in the second half of the season.
Is he Von Miller?
I mean, Von Miller.
He's getting paid like Von Miller.
Right.
Is Lamar Miller out there? Lamar Miller's he's hurt half the time.
It's got no quarterback.
When they say just pay a guy, for what? This isn't the NBA where you can just throw mid-level exceptions. No, you have a salary cap, and if you go over, you're in trouble. You have to start cutting people and getting rid of people. You have him from $900,000. Get this cheap labor now, and then when you have to jump into $12 million a year, you do it when you have to. Not when you want to. That's no reason to give a man $12 million for no reason.
Got to take a quick break. We'll continue talking about it when we come back.
Glenn and Crowder is driven by Lubac Road Coconut Creek Chevrolet, your Silverado headquarters. 441 just south of the Sawgrass Expressway in Coconut Creek. Or online at CoconutCreekChevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Very important. I don't know about the world being yours, but El Clasico tickets can be yours.
Ooh.
Make sure you're listening tomorrow morning between 8 and 8:30 to the Joe Rose Show for your chance to score 100-level seats. to El Clasico Miami. Real Madrid and Barcelona. Got to be listening tomorrow, Joe Rose Show, between 8 and 8:30 for your chance to win El Clasico tickets. That is a great prize right there.
Awesome.
Was texting with Randall Hill.
He got mad at us.
Former Miami Hurricane receiver.
Well, mad at me, sorry.
He agrees with me that maybe Jarvis Landry should get paid. I just texted him. I said, hey, why don't you come out and talk about it? So like 5
just
o'clock.
For fun.
So like 5 minutes from now, Randall Hill. I always like talking to Randall Hill. First of all, because I'm a Hurricane.
Yeah.
Secondly, because the Hurricanes have been picked to win the ACC Coastal. I don't know if you saw that from
football,
the media writers today. Yes.
Basketball is going to ball. Basketball is about to shake something.
Yes. Football.
Basketball is going to do it.
Football, though.
They did? Somebody picked them to win?
Yeah, like all the media writers voted on it. Like,
Without knowing who's slinging the rock. This blows my mind. You don't know who's under center, but you're picking them to win the Coastal. That just blows my mind. I love Mark Richt. Everybody knows it. Love him to death.
Well, Manny, it's going to be Nicosi Perry,
Manny
isn't
Diaz,
it?
I mean, did you just say, isn't it? That's the question that I have to be answered before I say they're going to be something. I think the defense will take over. The front seven is going to be hell. I think it's Chad Thomas's year, those three young linebackers. I'm with you. I got to know who's playing with that peel up on the center.
The University of Miami is the preseason favorite to claim the ACC Coastal Championship, according to a poll of 167 media members held in conjunction with last week's 2017 ACC football kickoff. That's exciting.
And Nicosi Perry goes out there, knock on wood, hope it doesn't happen. Really, even being a Gator, goes out there and gets that little peanut wrong first game. What happens then? You don't know who the starting quarterback is. Now you really don't know down the line what's going to happen. I cannot pick a team. Even the Gators. We got the guy from, I forget his name now, Notre Dame transfer. I was all excited when he came. Can't remember his name. Couldn't have been that excited. But I was excited when he came. But then I looked at his stats and all. I was like, well, he transferred. But he only played in 3 games in Notre Dame. I can't say what the Gators are going to do this year.
Shows you how much people are excited about Mark Richt, though, and the rest of the team.
Yeah, Mark Richt's good.
If you can overlook the quarterback position and say, yeah, they're going to win the Coastal,
they're going to be okay.
People are excited.
Randall Hill.
Randall Hill. Goodness. He is going to call in next, and he's going to give you his opinion on whether the Dolphins should pay Jarvis Landry now or not.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.